This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
Okay, could you speak a little bit on how Bomber Command has been remembered, how and why Bomber Command has been remembered the way it has in the UK?
In Britain, Bomber Command has been remembered in a rather ambiguous way. There are people who see Bomber Command performing a necessary and strategically useful task in the Second World War against an enemy that deserved its bombing. But there are other people who see the death of German civilians in very large numbers as somehow or other a violation of the rules of war. And so they tend to see Bomber Command differently as a force that was doing something strategically unimportant and involving the massacring of civilians.
And what about the way it's been remembered in Europe?
In Europe, Bomber Command is obviously remembered... Sorry, I'll start again.
Okay.
In Europe, Bomber Command is remembered very differently. In Germany, there is still, I think, quite strong resentment at the extraordinary level of damage inflicted to German cities and on German civilians. But I think Bomber Command is remembered perhaps most bitterly in places like Italy and France. In the later stages of the war, they were on the Allied side, and yet their population suffered extreme levels of loss and damage in the course of their liberation.
Could you talk a little bit about the way memorials and commemoration are springing up in Europe at the moment, or the last 10, 15 years or so?
It's only recently that the bombing has really been remembered in Europe. For the first time, you start to see memorials to those killed in the bombing. You start to see memorials to the civilian dead, not just to the soldiers, which is a more familiar form of memorialisation. I think it's taken an awful long time for Europe to wake up to the reality of the bombing war, and I think now people are more willing than before to look at this People are willing more than before to see this. People are willing more than before to see civilians as part of the war effort, to see civilian losses as something we need to remember as well. And that's true, I think, in Britain too. In Britain, there are almost no memorials to the Blitz, and yet 43,000 people lost their lives during the course of it.
Could you talk a little bit about your role with the museum in Hamburg?
In Hamburg, a new museum to the bombing has been established. And Hamburg, of course, was the city that suffered the firestorm, 18,000 people killed in one night. There, I think, the museum has made a great effort to try and see the bombing from every side, not to disguise the fact that Germany was a dictatorship which practiced all kinds of international crimes, but at the same time to recognise that the death of German civilians was something which needs to be recorded and explained. I think this has been a very good experiment. I think what it has done is to put the bombing war properly into a modern context. If that's useful.
Yeah, I think so. Could you talk for 90 seconds, like just a minute, isn't it? Can you talk about the use of resources and bombing? I know you've written quite a large amount on that.
About what?
The bombing and the use of resources and how its impact or not on German industry.
Right, okay.
Big ask in 90 seconds.
Mm. One of the reasons for bombing Germany was to try to undermine the German war economy and stop production for the German armed forces. In the end, large resources were diverted from the military to defend Germany. But in the end, Germany carried on producing armaments in large quantities almost until the end of the war.
It would be better if you ask again the same question.
Yeah,
so
because
I
was just sorry I went past.
I'll do it again. One of the reasons for the bombing campaign against Germany was to try to undermine the German war economy and to deny Germany's armed forces an adequate number of weapons. In fact, what happened was that large quantities of weapons were diverted to Germany to defend against the bombing, which did have that effect. But the impact on German industry was always more muted than people had hoped. Germany continued to produce very large quantities of weapons until almost the end of the war.
Smashing, thank you. You recently published an article about propaganda and leaflets. Why is the story of the nickel operations not being told, and how effective were they?
One of the least known aspects of the Bomber Command, one of the least known aspects of the Bomber Command campaign was a leaflet campaign that often they carried with the bombs very large quantities of political propaganda which was dropped over Germany. I think this has not gained much publicity because in the end the political propaganda didn't achieve very much. Actually, billions of leaflets were dropped over Europe during the course of the war, and at the end of the war the British intelligence chief argued that he didn't think it had shortened the war by a single hour.
You've also talked about the mismatch between what people believed bombing could achieve and what it actually was capable of doing. Could you talk about that?
In the Second World War, there was a huge gap between what people thought bombing could do and what it could actually achieve. And the problem was really technical. People imagined that bombing would be precision bombing, that you could pick out a factory, you could take out a military installation quite easily. In fact, even the American Air Force, which prided itself on having a decent bomb sight and better training, wasn't able to hit a precise target with all its bombs. The problem was that the aircraft flew at a great height. There were no laser or radar-guided bombs and so on. You just dropped your bombs and hoped.
Could you expand on that a little bit and sort of explain why they thought that, you know, bombing was going to be accurate?
At the beginning of the Second World War, the general view was that bombing was bound to be accurate. You would just get your aircraft over the target, you would drop the bombs, and you would destroy things. Bomb trials were held before the Second World War to try and demonstrate this, but the bomb trials themselves were conducted, of course, under conditions of peace. Actual bombardment involves not only the technical problem of getting over the targets accurately, identifying it and dropping your bombs, but coping with anti-aircraft fire, with enemy fighters and so on. It was impossible in the circumstances of the Second World War for any bombing to be remotely accurate. You've dropped 100 bombs on the target, you dropped them on the target area, and you were lucky if two or three bombs actually hit the right thing.
Okay, thanks. So, from 1942, the aim of Bomber Command became to de-house populations and to break the enemy morale. Why wasn't that successful?
By 1942, Bomber Command had been directed really to attack the morale of the German population, and particularly the urban population, the working class. The idea was that if you bombed them enough, bombed their houses, destroyed their milieu, that they would then rise up and resist the regime. It would be like the end of the First World War. But this was not the First World War, this was the Second World War. This was a dictatorship. This was a dictatorship which penalised defeatism and social unrest. And the other thing, I think, is that on the whole people came to depend upon the state, even if it was a dictatorship. In order to get their houses repaired, to provide welfare, to provide food, they became more dependent on the state, not less. And the British misjudged, I think, the capacity of the German urban population to absorb the bombing. They might have drawn a lesson from the Blitz, because although the Blitz killed 43,000 people, destroyed large areas of London and other port cities, British society did not collapse. There was no question during the course of the Blitz of a social upheaval or a revolution. If they'd looked at that more carefully, I think they might have judged the morale bombing of the German population rather differently.
Fantastic. Are there any lessons that we should be learning from the bombing war in the Second World War?
If we have any lessons to learn from the bombing war, I think the most important lesson is that civilians don't make a good target. In the Second World War, the American air chiefs were rather critical of the Bomber Command and the British. What are you trying to do? You're trying to kill people. But what does that do strategically? And I think there is no answer to that. In the end, to defeat an enemy decisively, you have to defeat an enemy's armed forces.
I think you've answered all the questions that I really wanted for this section.
Okay. Can I just do the first question again? The one about why and how it's remembered, because I don't think I've done that as clearly as the other questions.
Yeah, fine, in your own time.
There's no doubt that in Britain, memory of Bomber Command is divided. It's divided for the following reason, because Bomber Command, in the course of its campaign, killed very large numbers of civilians. Now, there are some people who say, well, those are civilian workers, the effect on German industry was profound, and this was an entirely justified campaign. On the other hand, there are those who say, well, this is a liberal state trying to demonstrate how different it is from Nazi Germany. You shouldn't have conducted a campaign which was directed at civilians. This is a debate which is not capable of compromise. You're either on one side or on the other.
Yeah, that was much better.
Okay.
You're right, Alex.
5 seconds.
Wonderful.
Good. Well, we'll do get a 90-second letter.
I'm sure we will. Yeah.